frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, Eddie Fiend coming out. You stick on, stick that big red light bulb on for a Fiend.
And his partner, Feta Tapender Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Rab Florns. Hey, look who's with me. It's the man himself, Grado.
You all right, man?
How you doing, my man? You in a better mood this week? You were like a raging bull last week.
I'm all right. I'm apologise to everybody if I was crabbing that. I just was fucking, couldn't be asked with you, John, the fans,
everybody. You hated us last week.
Man, you should do my tits in. But this week, fuck it, I'm brand new.
You're back to your charming self.
Aye, man, I've got a big smile, my coupon. What's been happening in wrestling? You been watching it?
I need to confess, I've not really been watching the
wrestling. It's shite with fans, you need to stop it now, man.
I'm looking forward to Drew. I'm quite enjoying Drew and Seth Rollins' programme, though. I think that's going to be interesting.
I've only seen Vince McMahon call Triple H Paul and Padre and all that shite.
Carry on.
Aye, that was good. Just seen it on YouTube. That's how he did the ring, but that was brilliant. That was great. He was great with the gun.
I've still not seen any of them. Mate, you need to get up to date with this because this is great. I will.
When will you do it, Robert? I will. Come on, you big piece of shit. I'll do it.
But we need to listen. I'll tell you something, guys. We need to find. Let's be open with the listeners here. We need to fire through the stuff on this show quite quick this week because we have got an amazing interview.
A brilliant interview.
An amazing interview this
week. It's so, so good, so interesting. If you want to hear about deed wrestlers, if you want to hear about drugs, if you want to hear about sex, if you want to hear about all that, you know what I mean? Pure wrestling, carny, fucking pure madness. You're going to hear it on this fucking episode.
Because we have got an amazing interview with Hornswoggle on this show tonight, and it's an amazing interview with Hornswoggle. How do you say Dylan's second name, by the way?
Is it Postal? We should have asked him.
How do you pronounce it?
Are we admitting we've pre-recorded the interview?
Aye, but listen.
Let's shoot with these fuckers.
If you're listening,
it's fucking easier to sometimes interview the cunt first. Sorry for swearing. Beep me. I'd love to be beeped. Can you do it for me just for the pop?
Yeah.
Right. So the next one I want to say, beep it out, right? Okay. Hornswoggle was one of the best cunts we've interviewed.
He was brilliant. Dylan was my favourite. And right away, I was like, you need to come back because he was just a great guy. What a great guy. You know, just a sweet dude and very funny and brilliant stories and sincere and all that. And great stuff. So we'll be getting Dylan back. But however,
Don't call him Dylan, mate. He's not your pal. He's my pal.
No, he's my mate. I think he's my pal.
Call him Dylan. Shut up, you. Sounds all you.
My mate Dylan is a little bastard, Hornswoggle. You know, he's been through a hardcore wonder, I believe, when he first started out.
You're on Wikipedia,
I know.
Believe that as well.
I was live. Right, so anyway, so we want to fire through the stuff, even though let's go to correspondence for last week. I need to tell you, I mean, I've not got that much news, to be honest. I've been just stuck in my fucking house because there's a killer virus.
Regular correspondent
Bronze Cello wants to remind us of another Hulk Hogan tweet after we talked about them last week. Do you remember that time he retweeted a picture of Joseph Fritzl, which said, hey Hulk, can I get a retweet from my granddad? Despite some family problems, he never misses a show, and it's a picture of Joseph Fritzl with a world's greatest dad t-shirt on.
There's a WWF, WWE sign.
And Hulk Hogan, listen, I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan tweeted me once.
You're joking. He responded to me and Eugene once after, because I missed Hulk Hogan by 2 minutes because of Eugene's missus.
Right, okay.
You want to tell your story first?
No, sorry. I've just found it, but you carry on.
Right. Basically, I was with Eugene in Florida, and he went, "You want to go and see Hulk?" And that happened 2 years later with Jeff, and I did meet him, but 2 years before that, I was with Eugene. It was the same night I debuted in River City. So whilst River City, Buster was on, I was in Hulk Hogan's shop, right, and trying to get iPlayer up and all that, right, trying to watch myself in River City. And I was, and Eugene came in, and he was like, hey, Nick, this random guy. And Eugene was like, "Where's Terry?" And he's like, "Oh, the big man's coming in this afternoon. He'll be here about 45 minutes. So we went down the beach, right? And I did get River City up on my plane, and I watched myself on River City with a total red neck, brass neck.
Well, May 15, 2015, let me tell you this. May 15, 2015, I tweeted at Hulk, and I was in the shape of my life, by the way, in May 15, 2015.
You're in the shape of your life, the new mate?
Nah, I'm no mate.
I fought my way back on. Look at me, since I'm this a lockdown fat blaster again, man. With the Easter eggs.
I says it, at Hulk Hogan, big man, you inspired me to grow my arms into pythons. Much love from Scotland. Have a great weekend. I tweeted at him. And it's a picture of me with my muscles out, right? Picture of me with my muscles out.
Brilliant.
And he replies, "Yo, Rab, good job, my brother."
Hail, hail.
Hail, hail. Good job, my brother. Hail, hail. And I replied back.
That is
amazing.
That is a buzz.
I replied back, "I love you, man."
Like that.
Absolute mark, man.
I know, man. Like, total I'm mark. always wanting, because, like, you know, Blaze has tweeted The Rock. Lionheart, God rest his soul, tweeted The Rock. They all got fucking replies.
I got a reply.
I done
for
it
the
once,
Rock.
And he dinged me, and I was fucking well embarrassed.
I got a reply for The Rock.
Shut up, man.
Let me find this for you as well. That's I'm sure crap. I can find it. Oh God, aye. It was in reply to though. I can't find it the new, but
I
it was
need
in
to get a reply for The Rock. Or something.
It was in reply to me. Me and Hope went to see his film. One of his films, and he said,
"Walking Tall, Too Fairy."
Like, I can't remember what one it was, but he said it was good anyway. So that's it. So basically, The Rock and Hulk Hogan are my pals, and they don't like you. Hey, Danny Lowe says, "Grado and Rab could wish my pal Craig Brown for Green a happy 31st birthday, and also call him a prick." No, we're not doing that. Love from Franklin.
Nah,
we're doing that. We'll call you a prick, and then we'll see your mate.
For calling him a prick.
Aye, we'll see your mate. I hope he doesn't have a happy birthday. Keep up the good work. He says the three of us go to every PBW show and being at Toon Hall, as well as being
happy birthday, mate. Happy birthday, mate.
And also,
that's
you're
where
a prick.
I make
also, you're a prick.
I did a lot of good mention getting up, so thanks very much.
He says, "Grado,
thanks for tweeting.
Grado drinking and shooting on Fit Finlay makes for great content."
When was that?
That was last week, mate. You said you were going to knock fuck out of Fit Finlay.
Did I?
Aye, so let's hope that Dylan doesn't, when we interview Dylan, that you don't tell him that you were going to fuck with a Fit Finlay.
Fucking hell, I'm going to get my in on this show, man.
Thanks to Mark, who continues the trend of getting family members to say wrestling catchphrases. Here is his 2-year-old nephew, Nico, quoting Mick Foley.
"That's good."
Oh, that's cute. That's
have
adorable. That's
nice
adorable.
Day. That is adorable.
But Nico should have said it yourself, but anyway.
Last week on the show, do you remember this, Grado? You were trying to get Alexa to recognize
that count.
And she did not, by the way. She recognized Rab, but no Grado. So Grado wanted the listeners to try their Alexas out.
And I did.
We've got a few examples of that, mate. Have a listen.
"Alexa, who is Grado?
Rieger Strasse was an early prominent German Nazi official and politician who
I'm
was
a fucking Nazi.
Out of the long knives in
a fucking Nazi.
Alexa,
oh dear, right enough.
Graham Steebley.
Here's something I found on reference.com. Paul Graham is an ordained Southern Baptist minister and the founder of the Bill."
Oh my God.
Oh, that one is me. I was a Baptist minister for a couple of years.
Here, listen.
"Graham Steveley is the most famous actor in Scotland on my shopping list."
That's brilliant.
Grado won't be on anyone's shopping list because let me tell you something, darling. Grado is not for sale.
I am fucking gutted. I'm off Alexa.
Grado
somebody's
is not
fucking
for sale.
Complaint. It's like getting my blue tick taken off me or some shit.
Mate, you need to continue to be relevant to stay on Alexa. That's what I have.
Scott Squad was on last night, mate, at half nine.
I'm only joking, right, mate. I'm only kidding. Me. You're the mate. I'm kidding.
When's the Scots on, anyway?
Alexa's anti-Scottish.
When's the Scots on?
Oh, mate, I don't know. I don't think we're ever filming it.
I know, man. TV's dead, mate.
TV's done.
Thanks, bro. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you are no longer Rab Florence. You are now just Robert Florence, and I'm Graham Steveley. Well, that's it, mate. We're going off to start fucking shredding paper and fucking, do you know what I mean?
Putting I'm going to become
the gun and all that and putting it in the bin.
I'm going to maybe become a vet. I might become a vet.
I'm going to be a dentist.
Oh, cool. Let's do it. Between the two, we'll fucking make more money, mate. We'll literally make more money. Thanks to Jen, the twin between us, and Paul for trying that out for us, by the way, the audio clips. Thanks for the hundreds of complaints for everybody who's
allowed. I'd rather be a doctor, sorry.
All right, okay, you can be a doctor. That's fine, you can be a doctor. And
oh, that nice cream van owner.
That's a fucking hell of elite dune, by the way. No harm to ice cream van owners, but to be like, I'm going to be a doctor and then I'm going to be a fucking guy who works in an ice cream van.
Not a bus driver, not a pilot.
Don't be a bus driver because they're all catching the coronavirus, innit?
Hurry.
Pilot, you don't have a pilot, the fucking airline industry's fucked.
Is it? Delivery driver for Just Eat, that's it. Final answer. Laughing. Take it.
Laughing. The three tunes, you're fucking laughing with that, Joel. Bloody kill you. So there was a couple of pictures of Kelvin Broadie in the round this week, and Tony Pepperoni said, what a night that was. Ended with my wife shoving me through a hedge right next to Kelvin Hall. I love a night that ends like that.
We need to get Greg Campbell on to talk about that night.
We need to. I'll open up discussions on this week. We'll try and get them on, right?
I mean, I can't believe you both made about 60 grand after that and he's gave me about £25, man. What are you laughing at, John?
Jimmy Kerr says, just listen to Friday's Wrestling Daft and wants to know, when did Statler and Waldorf replace Rav and Grado? Right, grumpy bastards.
Maybe a wee Prozac
before the show might help.
Well, get us in touch with some kind that can get us some.
We've tried that, mate. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that, I'll just run the wrestling-related stuff. Get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft. On Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast.
Aye, just to let you know what I just said there about getting Prozac, that was under the character Grado, who is a former wrestler because wrestling's cancelled. No Graham Steveley that needs to go to a real job now. So that's, you know how you get that on Twitter? These viewers are not my own. That's me. That was me being Grado there asking for a Prozac seller. Right.
Just Wrestling Daft on Facebook or email wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. The chocolate digesters for the fig rolls.
Oh, it's pathetic.
The fig rolls are bad. I fucking hate fig rolls.
I've never had a fig roll.
That's good. Well done, John. Thank you. As we bury and put over stuff. What you want to bury and what you want to put over this week, Grado?
I want to bury fucking mere wrestling in front of me. Fucking, know what I mean? Stupid. Stop the wrestling now. And I want to bury. No, I like Joey Ryan, he's my mate, but...
Whoa, here we go.
But he was out of order putting up that picture of video of Vader saying that the jobber was getting a doing. That was fucking soft as shit. I've had bigger doings than that in the Greenockton Hall. No, I mean, you know, he put up this video of Vader and went, I'm so glad. And I love Joey Ryan a day. He's great. He's a great guy. I don't mind me saying this. But he was out, bang, out of order, putting up a video of this jobber getting a doing off. Vader, they're the fucking loveliest work punches you've ever seen in your life, and he's like, I'd rather have Kenny Omega, da 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 da. Anyway,
what did they say about Vader? What was his angle?
He basically put up a clip of Vader battering a jobber, but he wasn't battering him. He was fucking giving him nice, fucking solid, fucking nice work punches, and he was like, look, I'd rather have Kenny Omega. I can't remember what he says. Jim Cornette roasted him for it. Jim Cornette started calling him a pussy and all that. And you know, it's a good thing that wrestling has changed for that because you wouldn't be in a Joe because yet. I don't want to get in between all that shit because I like Bay for them. But I don't like.
That's a lot of shit.
Vader was all right, mate. Vader was brand new. See him, he's alive. What a guy.
It's 25 seconds. I just want to see.
Just see it. The fit is fine.
They're totally worked punches.
They're fucking great punches, mate.
And listen, this is all right. He is going a wee bit heavy on the boy here, right? Towards the end of the clip.
No, he's no.
Right, but regardless, this is when fucking men were men, man. Like,
guess who?
No fucking Bally.
Strap one on. What I mean? Strap one fucking on.
And I know it's easy for me to say, and I know there are probably people out there hearing me saying this, or like, well, you're no getting in the ring, you're no wanting to hurt people and all that. But there's always been moments of guys working stiff and moments of, I don't know, man. It's,
God. That annoyed me. That annoyed me. You know what I mean?
Did you see that footage of Steve McMichael?
That was great. That was great.
I want to put
you
that
know
over.
What that reminded me?
What?
Get out in the bar. Why? Is that what you're talking about? Is it the six man with his other guy?
Aye. Why did they remind me of him?
That's the kind of shit. That's right. I used to wrestle all the gaff.
Oh, do you know Hank? I thought you said Karen Dunbar, the fucking...
I'm back when the face is the same colour as your neck.
Like, why does Mongo McMichael remind you of fucking Karen Dunbar?
Hey, mate, I look like Karen Dunbar. I've got the same beak as her. That's why we done a pilot episode. But she hated my guts.
What?
Because I went like that. Because I goes, they're a school teacher. She went, you've been fucking serious. And after that, man, she just kind of asked me because it was a bit like her me going up to like the Undertaker and asking for a picture on your first day in the job with the WWE.
Do you know who wrote the school teacher sketches, mate?
Mate, Rab, see if it was you. I'll love you bits, mate, because they were the best.
You're looking at them, mate.
Mate, Rab, you don't get enough fucking credit for Trinifat. Trinifat was better than Still Game, mate. You were the man.
I wouldn't go that far, mate.
You
I wouldn't go that
fucking
far.
Fucking man, mate. You were the man. You were the best comedy writer ever.
I love
what
you,
happened?
I'm a vet now, right?
I am an ice cream driver.
I'm a vet now. I'm a vet. So let's see what the punters have been saying. Paul wants to put your gender. He says gender returned looking strong, great shape, sporting the quarantine hairdo. Also wants to put your John, Grado, Rab, Alex and Gary for the laughs early weeks. And
he good, man. That's nice. I've got a great gender in my house story that I can't tell because he told me never ever to tell her, but it was funny.
Don't tell it.
Yeah, well, no, but it was,
don't tell it.
It was brilliant. Put it this way, he was backstage at TNA trying to get a job, right? See, five months later, he was a WWE champion. Never got a job in TNA. He turned up for a job with TNA, sitting in the back, eating cake and all that, one lot of dafty. 5 months later, he's WWE champion. Tell me that's the truth.
That's mad, isn't it? It just shows you. Hazy wants to bury those heels that Zelina was wearing on Raw. Looked like she was going to fall on her ass. Wait, hear this. She's a weirdian. Any guy that's married to her is for the watching.
Any guy who is married to her?
Alistair Black.
You're fucking kidding me on this. Really?
Aye. Also,
Your mate.
Also, Apollo getting injured. And Hazy wants to put your Seth looking.
I love the way you've just moved on for that. That's
looking
great.
The part in that suit. Guy is a great heel. Nah, mate, I'm like Rocky Balboa, mate. I love everybody. I love Alistair. Listen, he was let me tell you something, right? I'm gonna break down the fucking thing here, right? About Alistair Black, not a joking about and stuff like that. Big Tommy.
Shoot.
Big Tommy, right? I'm shooting here, right? Big Tommy.
Hey, man, I'm Tommy and I'm gonna go to New Japan.
Whenever I had any dealings with Big Tommy, he was a sweet big guy.
He's a sweet big guy.
He was a sweet big guy.
Hey, Grado, man, I'm going to New Japan, but don't tell anybody.
Sean wants to...
Hey, Shaw, I'm going to New Japan, but don't tell anybody. Hey, another wrestler, Doug Williams, I'm going to New Japan, don't tell anybody.
There you go. Sean putting our shoot interviews, since that's all I've been watching recently, Sean going old school watching the shoot interviews, and he wants to bury Cornette for his comments over the Velveteen Dream situation.
What happened with Velveteen Dream? He was pure over as fuck now. You don't see him anymore.
I don't know if he should be talking about this on the show.
How?
They're concerned with him covering his tracks and what he's allegedly done. He's an absolute roaster now.
What happened there, Rab? I don't know, mate.
There was some people reportedly put up on Reddit, reportedly some direct messages for Velveteen Dream, reportedly on Instagram that was kind of like sent a picture of his wally out and stuff twinkle. Like that. But there's no proof that it's actually him or right, no so proof that it's actually twinkle. So. It's nothing right,
we
should
can't comment on that.
Talk about.
We do so not know be, if that was his you know, twinkle so or some other cunt's twinkle.
We don't know who's twinkle.
It could have been my twinkle. It could have been Rab's twinkle. It was probably John's twinkle.
Very, very well shaved, well groomed, and it had a really nice kind of tube essence. Chris wants to put out all the Dustin Rhodes stuff in AEW TV and media. I hope by the time this angle comes to conclusion, there's a huge crowd to give him a massive pop. Listen, just
wrestling's great, mate. Still coming back, man.
Here's a thing for me.
The last ever wrestling show in Scotland was Grado's Pavilion show. Just remember that, Rab.
Put as much Dustin Rhodes on your wrestling program as you like, and definitely. I'll fucking watch a lot of it, man.
Absolutely, mate. And I'll go back and watch every bit of the network with Goldust, and I really wish he got a pair of those.
You're right. Colin wants to put a spud for making the most of whatever this angle he's found himself in.
I love spud. Heard the message.
I'm hopeful he's kept on, but if not, at least he's gone out having done something meaningful. Here's something I'll say about spud. Whatever he gets put in front of him, he makes the fucking...
He can date everyone. He can play funny. Yeah. He can play bad guy. He can do cruiserweight. He was doing flippy stuff before he was doing the jokey stuff. He can date everything. Spud's good.
Kieran Thomas wants to bury contract signing on Ronnie. Use for the many men. A lot of shite. And put your spud. What a storyteller.
Aye, everybody Matt put their spud this week.
Spud, 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 spud.
Couple of weeks, mate. But that's finally, my pal.
One more though, Gredo. Fraser wants to put your the wrestling daft crew, yourselves in the marks, for continuing to give us content during these unprecedented circumstances. Too right, mate. We're doing it.
Just make me fucking great, Matt.
Nobody in anything, although slightly upped at Paramount, constantly putting WWE NXT UK really late at night because it's new highlight shows.
It's good that there's folk out there, right, that are really fucking struggling with this.
I'm glad you appreciate it.
They're fucking wrestling there and talking shit about fucking wrestling. Watched all the Broken Skull sessions and went through all the WrestleManias in the WWE Network. Can I be asked for the weekly shows with no crowd, just like myself? Well, it's time to get more content for Wrestling Daft by signing up to our Patreon. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Hello to some of our new patrons, Derek Donaldson and Pato 10. We've set up 3 tiers which you can choose to get involved with at patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Now, tier 1, you're the Cruiserweight Champion, which is $4, which is about £3. And on that, you get a Patreon chat community, ad-free versions of all episodes, a full unedited version, random bonus content, video version of the Matt's podcast, and you can vote on what you want to see on the list of Wrestling Daft. Tier 2, Intercontinental Champion, you cry. You pay a $10 a month, that's about $7.70. You get everything in Tier 1 as well as a video version of the podcast each week, bonus episode once a month. Now, by the way, if you're ever going to get a video version, you need to get this one for Hornswoggle, ain't you?
Why?
You really are. That's a fucking shoot. Buy Patreon to get to the video version of this episode because it's a belter. You get brand new, you get chance to take part in Wrestling Daft pay-per-view Patreon parties and quizzes. If you're tier 3, you're the World Heavyweight Champion, which is about $20 a month. I'd buy that one. That's about £15, man. Everything in the previous tiers as well as 3 tickets to every live event. I mean, we've done fucking hundreds. Once we're able to get out of self-isolation, as long as you're signed up, you get a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt designed your choice. Plus, you get to feature on one of our shows as one of our marks. Now, that must mean they couldn't sign up to that, because I don't remember ever mentioning MD saying, have we done that yet? So Nady's paid 20. Nady's paid. So we're going on.
They're on the mark.
Go, John.
They're on the mark show. The marks turn up on the mark show.
Oh, that one we're known.
Oh, but I've known that because I heard it.
Well, you don't listen to it.
We should get one of the marks on this show, though. That would be good as well. Like, one of the.
Aye. Right. So see if you sign up this week. Right, well, let's see how we'll get 3 folk. If you sign up, you can come on, you can talk to us. Right, there you go.
Beautiful.
So this... buy Wrestling Daft Patreon, because it's going to be good.
You just made the list!
This week on our Patreon, we asked for you guys to vote on a list of Wrestling Daft. Remember, you can vote for this by signing up for $4 a month at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. No backslashes, you will get the fucking shite knocked at you. If you put a backslash in, I will come smashing through your fucking window and just break your fingers if you even try to put a backslash in. In fact, see, as far as I'm concerned, see that if you've got a keyboard in front of your keyboard and your laptop or something, you look at that fucking backslash button, you just pull it out, just fucking get a crowbar and just knock it right out. I don't like to see it. This week, as it's 25 years of Triple H in WWE, we asked, do you want us to talk about his greatest moments? Or, since it's 20 years since David Arquette won the WCW title, do you want us to talk about the worst people who have held the title? And surprisingly, with 72% of the vote, you wanted us to talk about the worst folk to have held a title.
Now, I just need to tell you that the two worst folk to have held the title, everybody's going to say Russell and Arquette. Arquette follows me on Twitter and we DM each other, so I speak to the ex of Courtney Cox, he's my pal. I've wrestled Vince Russell. I recently put up the worst RKO ever because the cunt couldn't fucking bump for it. And by the way, he said, keep back for my boys. He says, I've got something around my boys. Vince Russell was telling me when I wrestled him. See, as soon as I pinned him, I turned my 2 fingers, digits, and fucking started stabbing his boys with my fingers. And he was screaming in agony. Don't know what he's got around his boys, but he shouldn't have told me because as soon as I've done it, all the boys said, Fingery's boss. So I fingered his boss.
Well, right. I didn't expect any of that to happen there. So my list, now let me think, what is my list going to be? The worst title reigns, the worst title champions in... Well, it depends how you look at it. I suppose it depends how you look at it, because is it the worst folk that held the title? Because Yokozuna
look at
was
the first guy that's annoyed me, because that, look at the first one Derek wrote.
Okay, Derek says Nicholas, the wee boy that won the tag belts with Braun Strowman, total piss take.
Get out of it.
Aye,
it's fucking entertainment. It's Coronation Street for men.
God, here we go again.
That fucking was hell.
That was a magic moment for that wee guy.
It was fucking great.
And for loads of kids
watching
around the world.
Was no one of the referees wee boys? That's fucking shocking, Derek. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Paul says Harvey Whippleman is women's champion.
Brilliant. Hilarious. Good fun. Keep going. Jinder Mahal. Ah, that was good. He was good.
Mark says Jinder Mahal. Only thing entertaining about his run as champ was seeing the Singh brothers getting chucked about like a kid with wrestling figures every week.
That's funny.
Jinder Mahal
was good for about a cup of coffee.
Jinder, obviously, he looks like a monster, doesn't he? He's like a proper
mate, he's
big
a beast,
dude,
mate.
Man.
He's a big beast. He's my pal, too.
Rich saying Gronk. Gronk, putting the only title you can reliably defend by a skit and lockdown on a non-wrestling star you can't get a hold of. Massive fail. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that
that's
title.
However,
nobody cares about a title. Again, here's a situation, though, where Drake Maverick took that, a title that nobody was going to
made
get fucked
it,
about,
and made it
something. And he should never have been removed from that picture. That should just have been like his title.
The piss, even if the piss he said with the Big Show, that was funny as fuck, man. That was good shit. Fucking hell, why did they release Spud? That's my pal.
Aye.
He's fucking homeless.
No. Sam Smith says
he's got a house.
Gredo, Sam Smith
he's
says
he's got a car.
Gredo, Sam
he's
Smith
got
says
he's got everything. He's Gredo, made fucking house.
Gredo, Sam Smith says he says Goldberg.
No way, mate. You dare. I met him in Vegas. Him and his gran. I met Goldberg and his gran in Vegas, so shut the fuck up.
What did you say to him? What did you say to him when you met
I'm
him?
I'm a wrestler, too.
And you can buy that t-shirt in our merch shop.
Calzo says, Big Diddy Cool Diesel. Big Diddy Cool. Diddy Cool Diesel. Terrible Winged Eagle champion. He always
made one of the best Royal Rumble moments.
Who slags off Kevin Nash? Nobody slags off Kevin Nash on my show.
No, actually, I did because he went and texted Tommy Dreamer when I was on TNA and went, who the fuck is this cunt when I was in the ring?
But you know
what? He went, is this guy a wrestler? Tommy Dreamer texted me saying that Kevin Nash texts him saying that.
You know, he was just meaning that in a funny way.
Kevin Nash could take a fuck to
himself. He was just meaning that in a funny way. Old man Jim.
And you know what he called? And I get jealous because he said to Shah that he was great and he would get put on TV straight away. So I got dead jealous. And me and Shaq gonna fell out because obviously he text Dreamer slagging me, not because I was on the telly.
Hey Tommy, who the fuck is this guy?
Aye, is that a wrestler?
This guy a wrestler?
It's a bit like, see, I put this? A tweet up about Gene Snitsky. I was with Gene Snitsky for fucking 4 days at TNA tapings, talking to him every day, and then the last day he went, so where are you? You a wrestler or something, bro? I was like, mate, you've just watched me every fucking night. Fuck's sake, I am a wrestler. You think I'm fucking sitting here for fucking nothing? What do you think I'm wearing a fucking leotard for?
Oh, where you hear this? Where you fucking hear this now? Stephen Roche says, Psycho Sid. Sid Vicious. What's fucking guy? He had a title.
I must admit, but he went and screwed on my pal in America. He made some excuse about not turning up for an indie booking for one of my pals in America. I can't remember. He said he couldn't go on the plane and all that because he
how can you? But how can you say that guy, that big specimen, is one of the worst guys to hold a title?
Mate, remember when you would he was on like what was it called, like Fingers of Death or something like that, Birds of Death, his leg breaking thing. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a sore one, wasn't it?
I didn't mean to say.
Oh, that looks sore at you, didn't
fuck
it?
Fuck that, carry on.
Margaret,
I happened to Adam Shane, mate.
Margaret, that boy came off. That boy just jumped off a corner there, and his leg just went like a wee. It was like a wee pretzel. His leg just went like a wee curly whirly down there. Margaret,
put,
come and see this boy. His name's Psycho.
He's the Cross House. He's at the doctor's.
Is that the doctor? That's not a real leg. Is that a real leg? That can't be.
That was fake. They've done that. That's a fucking fake leg. That's a kid on leg. That.
That's funny.
That's tomato sauce.
That's a kid on leg.
That's tomato sauce.
Big fucking Mind you, he was in a car park. He was in a... I remember back in the day when Psycho Sid was... he was on tour. They were on tour and he was in a car park with one Alan Anderson. There was an encounter happened. There was a pair of scissors involved. The pair of...
Stick.
And, you know, it's me and the boys, we usually keep this to ourselves, but you see, there was a few lacerations. There was lacerations in that night. Margaret, this boy's lacerated this other boy with a pair of scissors in the care pit.
The doctors.
Are they real scissors?
Fake scissors. You know, my mom used to say, right, see how she watched wrestling with me one morning on SmackDown, right, and somebody hurt somebody or they hit with a steel chair, and my mom taking her slippers off, and she went, that's just somebody going, and she was slapping her slippers off the flare. That's just somebody going, and she was slapping her slippers off the flare constantly, saying that's a chair shot. I was like, no, it's real.
So, all that being said, what's your top three?
Oh, sorry. With that said, my top three, my number
make it quick.
My number three has got to be a fuck it Gronk. My number two is going to be, my number two is Vince Russo, and my number one is David Arquette. And I think even David Arquette would agree that fucking David Arquette is the worst of all time, and he's probably glad that he's the worst of all time.
Such a lazy answer. You're totally trying to get away from this podcast as fucking quick as possible.
Mate, I just fucking
put any foot into that.
What do you want me to say? Do you want me to go? I could say the great Khali, for example, right? Here's one. I could go, oh, the great Khali was the worst, but he was a monster. See if you've got the belt around your waist, see if you've got the title around your waist, then you fucking deserve the title.
No, but you phoned it in there, be fucking saying,
fucking Lowlanders were SWA champions. Wait a minute, Grado, if you want to get fucking hardcore with me, the Lowlanders were SWA tag champions, right? I had to witness the sight. The fucking Lowlanders with the SWA tag titles, right? When fucking Wolfgang and Darkseid came in, I was saying to myself, Wolfgang and Darkseid are chasing this pair for a fucking pair of titles. You fucking kidding me on here?
You're the fucking man.
So my number one is the fucking Lowlanders. The fucking Lowlanders.
Swaggle top rope! That's not the tadpole splash we've seen before! What the hell? What is going on? You gotta be kidding me! That can't be legal!
Here is your winner and the new Cruiserweight Champion!
What? No! The leprechaun is a champion!
Welcome to Wrestling Daft, one of the best guys I've ever met in the business. I had one of the funnest matches ever. Where was it? Orlando or New Orleans? Can't remember. One of the best days of my life. This guy is the best. But he did give me heat 2 weeks ago when I tweeted about JR's book. And he said to me, DM'd me saying, why the fuck have you no bought my book? But I did buy his book and I'm 77 pages in and it's better than JR's book. I'm telling you it is. Please welcome to the show the former WWE Cruiserweight Champion, none other than Horns Waddle.
Hello. Hello, guys. Hello.
Welcome to the show, now, man.
You say, I got you heat. I think you just got me heat with JR, I'm sure.
Who cares?
Yeah, no, it's I had to give you a hard time. You know, we've turned into buddies, and it's and so for you to purchase JR's book, which I'm all about you doing,
yeah,
and then to find out you haven't purchased one of your good friend's books, that was heartbreaking to me, sir.
Well, do you know what was heartbreaking to me? Just totally scanning every page looking for the word Grado.
It is in the actually, you filthy cunt. It is in the back.
What?
I do talk about you towards the end.
You do not.
I'm pretty sure. Yes.
Seriously.
I have
a hard on. Rob, listen to this. I'm in Hornswoggle's book.
I need something clarified here. So you get criticized for not having the book, and then did you order the book right away, Grado?
Ordered the book and Amazon Prime, it came the next day.
You ordered the Amazon Prime.
But I only started reading it 5 hours ago.
No, sir. No, I thought that because the pandemic was happening, though, you were only supposed to make, you know, really morally, you're only supposed to make essential orders, like you're only ordering essential stuff. Aye. So basically, I mean, that's the best review you could get, saying that that's like an essential item.
That's exactly what I was going to say. My book, Life is Short and So Am I, available on Amazon all over the world. is an essential product these days.
Yes, it is. That's little bastard you're speaking to here.
You know what I love about you? There's many things, and I'm sure Rab and John can attest to this. You always have a crazy story going on in your life. Your life is never calm.
Well, I mean, last night it was terrible. I mean, John is shaking his head, but last night I suffered a worse concussion than I ever did could in the ring. I went to put on my flip flops. And look at John, he's going, oh my god, he's telling this fucking story again. I went to put on my flip flops, I tripped up, and I fucking went right into the TV, fucked the TV, and
TV's done.
Look at that. I mean, that's kind of always been there, but there's a bigger lump there. There's a big lump.
Gredo, who do you blame for what happened last night? Do you blame the flip-flop, or do you blame the TV, or do you blame...
A mixture.
The man wearing the flip-flop.
Yeah.
I blame a mixture. I also blame my girlfriend because...
Uh-oh.
She made me... I basically put money in her account to buy a new TV because the TV was fucked. But the next morning, she woke up and she managed to fix it. So I don't know if I'll ever see that money again. So
anyway, listen, I want to hear about...
I know, we're here for Hornswoggle.
I want to hear about a wrestling career that isn't your one this week.
Exactly.
This is way, way more interesting. Him tripping on his flip-flop, cracking a TV is way better.
No, listen, do you know what I love about your book? Right, so your book is good because it's very personable. From when you're young, and I can relate to a lot of it I don't know if you mind letting me know the opening line is like, I don't mind the word midget. That's like the opening line in chapter one, and I think that's a very kind of, I don't know, Rab, help me up here, back me up here. Do you know what I mean? Because we know a couple of midgets, don't we? We know like Chris Toll and stuff like that. And it's
who's the one you just talked to the other day?
Chris Toll, who has heat with you.
Okay.
Because you landed in Glasgow and you went straight to the Radisson in Glasgow, and he is also similar stature to yourself, and he asked for a selfie, and you were miserable.
To an extent, I will fully admit I'm an airport cunt. I will fully admit. Do we know, was this WWE, Dylan?
WWE.
Okay, so then I was even more miserable cunt.
Right, but then so, I've seen you being a cunt post WWE.
That's just Dylan.
Right, well, because I was sitting next to you at WrestleCon, and this Irish midget came dressed in all the Hornswoggle gear, green, the face paint, the dirty stuff that you wore in the early days. He was all delighted to meet you. He was a midget. He was dressed exactly like me. And you have a fuck when he approached you.
Did he get... Hey, Grado, give me that $20? Hey, remember Smooth...
Hey, that's
smooth
10. 20. No, hey,
quick 10.
That was even worse. Listen to this, Rob, right? We went to... Was it Bruce Pritchard's podcast live? And we went
this
from...
This was in New Orleans.
In New Orleans. And we had to go straight from... Bruce Pritchard's to another show or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So we're out in the street at this point. So we're not the gimmick table. We're just out in the street. And somebody asks Swoggle for a selfie. And he goes, just 10. As in... he charges the cunts £10 for a fucking selfie in the street.
Business.
But did he pay it?
I think me and John Thorne made you feel bad, John Thorne of AIW. I think we laughed so much so hard that I think you went, forget it, just take it.
The best part of it is I did it at the bar too with the three of us. Because there was fans on Bourbon Street and all the bars that we were going to when you and I were drinking waters. And then I would just say, hey, that's just a quick 10. Mm-hmm. And you guys couldn't believe this.
But
it was working.
He's in Bourbon Street, do you know what I mean?
100%.
I was like, why did I not think of that? Fucking hell. You know what I mean? Why did I not think of that?
Rob, I texted him because he was busy doing something for WrestleCon, and I got done before him. So I said, we're going to meet at this bar.
It was the best.
And there is a picture that he just sent me of the world-famous hand grenades.
That's the hand grenades.
Hand grenades. Where they give you this tall, I mean, it's a stupid cup. and it's full of ice, but it's the liquor that's in it is it kills you. And then you can get these little plastic, rubber plastic grenades full of more liquor. And but each time you get one, you get more grenades. I think I ended up that night with 16 grenades. And it's just more and more and more. So I call him. I said, I said, Grado, you got to meet me here. And remember the horns, the sirens would all go off and everything. And we're just going ballistic. This is at probably 3 p.m. It was
Did we have
early.
A show that night?
We had a show maybe that evening. And it was just finally at one point I go, we have to wrestle later.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm getting mixed up. Where did we? Was it Orlando, New Orleans? And when we done Suplex City. It was fucking.
I have the picture. I have the picture framed in my
well.
Office.
Rab,
it's framed
honestly,
in my office.
You have it framed in your office. I was just looking for it right now. I need to find it.
It's one of like 6 pictures framed in my office.
Oh, it's brilliant. He gives me like fucking 20 Germans. It's fucking brilliant. I remember coming back and Jeff Jarrett went, "That was fucking brilliant," and I was delighted.
That was the year after Jarrett. I was so upset that I was with WWE at the time that I didn't get to experience Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett the year before fighting with fans. Hawkins was in that match and they were fighting with fans. I just watched video of this the other day again and it's
where was that? Was that in Texas or something?
No, it might have been the Texas year. Hawkins was in the match and he said he texted us all after the match. He goes, Jeff and Karen Jarrett just fought fans.
That doesn't surprise me. That happened in Preston as well. That happens quite regular. Do you know what? I feel bad, Kurt Hawkins. I had to text him the other day because, and I'm sure you might have been there. Were you there the night that CM Punk made his UFC debut in New Jersey? Were you with us? We watched it in the bar. Remember?
No, we were in the. That's the. We watched it in the locker room.
I think so.
I watched it because I watched it with Hawkins and Kevin Matthews in the locker room, and he got popped, and I lost it, and I was so happy. I was shaking chairs and throwing them. Yeah, this is the best.
So why that? Give us a juice on that shit. Come on.
I mean,
I've been to CM Punk's house. He was nice to me. But I mean, it's a bit awkward, being pals with Cabana, and you know.
Yeah, we had a very good, as I talk about in my award-winning book, Life is Short and So Am I, on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. we were very close at one point, and then stuff just happened, and we're not nearly as close anymore.
But was it his fault, the stuff that happened? Or was it the flip flop? Or was it the TV?
I would say, if anything, if I'm Grado and he's the TV, it would be a mixture of the flip flop.
You know what? But what I was trying to get at actually was that night. It was Kurt's last. It was Kurt Hawkins' last indie appearance before he went to the.
I was there. Yep, I was there.
Aye, and I went. See you when you get released. That was the last thing that I said to him. So, so I had to.
Wow!
So I messaged him last week.
Did you text him the other day?
And I went, man, I feel so bad that I said that to you that last time. And he went, don't worry about it. I laugh about it all the fucking time.
No, he let,
like,
yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. I was like, thank God he found it funny. He's such a good dude. But he's one of your best mates, isn't he?
He and Kofi are my two best friends. Like, they're the best. They're the absolute greatest human beings in the world. And I can't wait to see him again.
But the thing is that interests me great when I read your book. I don't want to spoil this book for people. But what I love about the thing is the amount of hours that you had to spend under the fucking ring in live events. Because that was your gimmick.
Overseas was the worst because, like, you know, the bad ones were the South America ones where sometimes we do like outside bull rings. And so it's outside and,
like,
you know,
it was in Spain or some shit.
Yeah. It was kind of like daylight at, you know, when the show started. So it didn't get fully, you can't blacken the arena when it's an open air arena.
Oh yeah.
And so I would have to go under the ring before people would come in and any international. So in the States, it was an hour long before the show. Anything international out of the States was an hour and a half. And then sometimes Finlay's match wasn't till the main event.
But did you never politic to try and go, come on, man, I'm under that fucking ring, I need a push?
Yes. Yeah. No, not a push. It was, hey, do I really need to go out right now? And finally, we developed a system where we would put me in like a road case. They'd push it to the ring. They'd put it on its side. I'd scoot under and done.
Nice.
And it was, but then that was like the good one. The other ones, it would be me under a black sheet with security around me, just sneaking to the ring before the show, or before as the show was starting.
You would never think that when you
You don't think about that stuff, do you?
Because they would put a video on the screen, and so everyone's watching the video. And then if you know, say 6-8 security guards and building workers come to the ring, like they're adjusting ring stuff, and I'm in the middle of them. They're circled around me here, and I'm just, you know, they get to the ring, I zip under, they go to the back. Everyone's watching the video on the screen, or they don't care about these building workers walking to the ring. They think they're fixing something, and so they don't even notice. I mean, the two people in the aisle might see me, and that's it.
So when you have been under the ring for a long time, mm-hmm. what do you do under there?
I would be able to sleep under there like it was nothing. Even with the banging and all
that. Surely that's risky, sleeping under there.
There's a story in the book that I missed my cue.
Oh, and, you'll never believe.
With the Undertaker. And it's
I'm ordering the book. I'm going to order the book.
It's brilliant.
I'm going to order the book.
It's brilliant. If I was asleep working with a fucking taker.
Yeah, and it's... And I blamed it on possibly being overserved the night before, but it was I talk about it in there too. I could like visualize the matches going on above me, just by the sounds and the crowd reactions. Like for a whole tour, it was Benoit versus MVP, and so for 14 days it was that almost every night, and so by 6 days in, you could just hear, all right, he's doing his comeback now. Okay, he's going to the top to hit the headbutt, bang. Mm-hmm. And you could just, I don't see anything going on above me. I just hear what's going on. And it's crazy how I could picture that.
And were you about to say that you would play handheld video games under
there? Yeah, before the show started, I would have my PSP under there with my headphones.
Nice.
You just, I mean, you would never imagine watching wrestling WWE that there's somebody under the ring playing a fucking computer game.
Aye, somebody under the ring playing a PSP.
I would, Tony Chimmel, the ring announcer, he would have his handheld microphone, and if Boogeyman was on the show, I could lift up the apron. I could see him through, but he couldn't see me, just how the skirts were. And I would lift up, but then I would take if the worms would come out, I would take a worm and I would lift it up just ever so slightly and throw. And I could just poke. I had the best aim and then he would put the microphone down, and then he was. Chimmel is the absolute man. I can't put him over enough. But he would then get the jackets and go off to the back. Well, the microphone is there with the cord. So I would see him walking then back to his chair, and I would pull the microphone under the ring. And you would hear over the sound system. But no one knows what it was. That, or he'd go to the back, and while it was dark, I'd grab the wrench for the bell. And he's freaking out because and I wasn't going to screw it up ever. I knew when the match was over. So I would quick throw it out to him. He would ring the bell and that was it. But he would be sweating. Give me the goddamn
match. Fucking...
Give me the red. It was the best. So then finally one time he got smart to it and he tied the microphone around his chair. So he got up. He started to leave. And he was watching me from on the steps. And I pulled the mic. It pulls his chair underneath too, so now it's an even more racket. But it's stuff like that you know, if you're under there, you do it to pass the time.
That was house shows, live events.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aye. Aye. Yeah.
So what was it like working with Finlay? Because I mean, he's one individual, that guy, isn't he? I mean,
scary guy.
Very quickly, I'd say within a month, and that's it, I developed like a son father son relationship with him, and we just took to each other, man. It was crazy. His wife, His wife still calls me their son, and your room is always open in the house. And I text him every Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. And it's just stuff like that. He was one of the first people to call when Landon was born. It's just stuff like that where it's, he's one of those. I picked up so much without him saying a word.
Do you know what? I can't believe that this cunt here is only 2 years older than me. Swoggle.
Who?
Born in 86.
Do you mean because Dylan's already done so much in his career?
I think it's amazing.
I always think you're older than me. I always That's think you're funny. Cabana's age.
Really? Well, Cabana's nearly 40, for fuck's sake.
Is he?
Cabana's no for. I'm sure Cabana's maybe about 38, 39.
I'll Google that then. Maybe. I'll tell you. Cool, Cabana.
But do you know what?
Grado's going to get so much heat for this.
But I know. Forget
his right, he's no 40 yet. He's 39. He's in his 30s.
39.
Oh, you called him 40.
Oh, he does. He's not going to like want that.
The headline to this episode better be Grado calls Cabana 40.
Grado says Colt Cabana is in the sunset of his career.
Now, the worst thing that I can do to piss off Colt Cabana, and he always gives me heat for it, is putting over Al Snow. He hates when I put over Al Snow anytime.
Yeah.
You get that as well? Al Snow was brilliant to me. Al Snow was the man to me. I don't know if you were exposed to Al as much.
So the guy that wrote Ross Owen Williams, he wrote Al's book too. So I kind of a cool, kind of a
I am
a
in Al Snow's book, by the way, just to let everybody know. So I'm in that.
I hate you.
I downloaded it digitally and done Control F Grado.
Just the search for yourself.
Well, Mark, fuck it, I love it. But that's what I love about you as well. That's what I love about you as well. That's what when I was reading your book about your first days, because like I know you love Ken Anderson as well. He helped me in TNA as well. He obviously was a big part of your career getting you in the WWE. And I love the fact that you were there on your first day getting fucking selfies with the wrestlers.
It was like joked about for a long time when I first started. Yeah, by Jimmy Tillis, the security guard at the time. He was still there, obviously, when I got hired, because it wasn't much long after that. That first day, in my mind, I was never going to be back in the WWE locker room. I'm going to get every picture I can. I got one with Angle and with Paul London and just like all, because I was this ring. Yeah, I was a Ring of Honor mark. And like,
I mean, so
that's the greatest thing ever. And then I remember asking Ray, and Ray put his mask on quick and asked the security guard, who asked me twice, stop taking pictures, asked him to take the picture of us. So it was one of those, oh man. And then he goes, all right, now get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Like,
all right. I done the exact same.
When I went to Orlando, I was like, here, cut, come here, big in, come on, hug, all this. I didn't give a fuck about that shit.
I still do it on indie shows. I took a picture with Liger. I took a picture with Muda. It's like,
come on.
I don't care.
You would just, man. I mean, it's one of the things, you would just regret it, wouldn't you, in later years? You would think to yourself, why was I so stupid as to...
so glad I've got my picture with Chris Hero and...
There is,
you know, like, I mean,
I got to meet Warrior, Ultimate Warrior, my absolute hero.
Tell me about Warrior. What was he like in real life? Come on, because
I talked to him.
I mean, he gets buried in that JR book.
I talked to him for 2 minutes, but it was the coolest thing I could have ever. Like, I walked right up to him. And I said to myself, I need to get a picture with Warrior. Obviously, he's my hero. I never will ever see him again. So I walked up to him. I said, hey, my name is Dylan. I just wanted to tell you that you are the reason I'm here. You're the reason I'm a wrestling fan. You are my hero. And he stopped and he called his wife over. Dana, he just said, he is here because of me. He's like, I got him into this business. It was like the coolest thing ever to me. And he goes, can we take a picture together? And I said, awesome. So we took a picture together. That's the night he passed away.
Oh my god.
So
picture? It's like one of the, like, because last night I was typing in, just to let you know, I was typing in last picture of Michael Jackson. You know, I do stuff like that. I'm quite morbid like that. You know, last picture of Prince. And then I go down a YouTube wormhole, and then I was like, I'm talking about this on our podcast today. I went down a YouTube wormhole when I was like looking up Michael Jackson's Doctor and stuff like that. I'm quite morbid that way.
Though.
So what?
This was a really beautiful. This was a really beautiful story. And then you're on talking about fucking Tupac post-mortem story pictures. And it's this, you know what I mean? It's no rotten.com stuff we're talking about here. This is like a... It's a beautiful
last picture of Ultimate Warrior was the Hornswoggle. Was it? If I type in last picture of Ultimate Warrior, is it going to be him and Hornswoggle?
Why don't you do it? Type it in the new.
I'm going to type it right now.
Type it in the new.
That's it.
But while you're doing that,
While you do that, you... used to talk, used to connect.
That has to be one of the most kind of surreal and emotional periods for wrestling fans. That period where suddenly Warrior was back in the WWE fold again, and then he was out again that speech on Raw, and then he was dead.
It didn't hit me until someone kind of said that, like, did the quotes of his speech. And it's like, man, this couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have matched up more perfectly to that being his send off, as graphic as that sounds, but that was it. And
breaking news, if I could just butt in. Breaking news, the last picture of the Ultimate Warrior is with a random guy wearing fucking blue headphones, and it's on Reddit, and it says possibly the last picture of the Ultimate Warrior, and it's not Hornswoggle. So you might have been further forth, possibly. I don't know. You never know. But you were maybe definitely in the last 10. Probably the last
10. my best friend actually saw him at the airport, and he was like, he still regrets to this day not asking him for a picture.
See, because all you WWE guys are crab at fucks. That's what I'm saying. You might not understand that lingo.
Oh,
I know you were in Aberdeen. Rab, Hornswoggle's been in Aberdeen. And do you know what happened? You know what Sha Samuels done, right? Sha Samuels, Dylan might not remember this. Sha Samuels fucking picked him up. He picked him up. I was like, you can't fucking pick him up. You can't pick up a midget. Fuck's sake, put him down.
How many people does Sha pick up? Because Sha could probably pick up quite a lot of people.
Aye, but it's only midgets I've ever seen him do. He's probably done it to Chris Toll, the other midget that we know. You know what I mean?
No.
He's probably done it to the guy that dressed up at WrestleCon.
No, Chris Toll, doesn't he appreciate the word midget, didn't he, no? Because Dylan, here's something I want to clear up as well, though, because Dylan, you're saying at the start of your book that you don't mind it and stuff like that, right? But how do you feel about Grado using it, though?
I'm fine. I always say the word midget makes me money.
And
this is exactly why. If you put dwarf wrestling on a poster, you put little person wrestling on a poster, what the fuck is that? Mm. You put midget wrestling on a poster, people know what it is. Like, technically, I'm a dwarf or a little person. I'm not a midget. But the midget in this world, first off, I don't take myself seriously, man. I dressed up as the New Year's baby on worldwide television. I did this. I was birthed by Mae Young. Like, I don't care. I don't care. I dressed up as a cow because WWE wanted to poke fun at me because I was fat. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. So the word midget isn't going to offend me. My dad, it's kind of funny, like, my dad, he won't say it. Very rarely will he say it. And he's one of you. He's a normie. So he...
What?
He won't... Normie. You know, a normal person. Like you guys.
All right. He's cool.
No, he's normal-sized, Grado.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Fucking hell, man.
It's cool. Is that like, you know?
I know, Grado. There's another one, another headline. Grado
to be cool. I'm fucking this up. I'm going to end up in the papers tomorrow.
Grado, you know, says, I mean, little people aren't cool. That's the other headline.
Not only that, Grado says that midgets can't have normal sized parents. That's what I heard. That's, I mean, he is, I think Grado swears.
I thought you would have been, I don't know.
This is like a career ender for you, this podcast, Grado. You're going to have to delete. You're going to have to go into every server in the world
it'll
and delete
be,
this for every
it'll
server.
It'll just be me and Rab on the show. Hey, Grado, I'll blow your mind even more, Grado. My son is normal sized.
I know that because I love your Facebook posts. They make me broody. Do you know what broody means?
No.
Rab, explain what broody means.
You want to have a baby, didn't you, Grado?
Aye.
What, that's what that means?
Yeah, I mean, it makes me, when I see you, I'm like, man, it looks good to be a dad.
It's easy.
That's good to be a dad.
But I love the picture. Rab, you're the same with your daughter. I love when you post pictures with your daughters.
We're supposed to be in Disney right now.
You post pictures of when you go to Disneyland and shit like that.
Yeah. We're supposed to be there right now. And this. Every year we go at this.
Oh, fuck, I'm forgetting COVID-19 is in America as well. Shit, what the fuck is happening?
Hold on.
No, I know it's in America, but I forgot. I just totally
Rab, are you, I mean...
I need to do this every week. Every week I have to do this show.
Is this a usual Grado thing? Where he...
Yeah. Look, yeah. Look, he's on form this week.
He's
on form this week. I mean, this is good...
Last week I was in a bad mood because I was fed up. I'm fucking fed up watching wrestling without an audience and hearing and people selling. It's fucking annoying. It's fucking annoying.
It's odd. It's
Show old Roz. Show fucking Hornswoggle versus fucking who was the Tenito Tequico? What'd you call him?
El Torito. Yeah.
El Torito.
Yeah. Show the TLC match. It's not a frozen Mexican food product. It's not that.
What?
I said, you almost called him Taquito, which is one of those frozen Mexican food products at 7-Eleven. It wasn't his name.
By the way,
Uh-oh.
Oh, he's gone. I think maybe his agent has came on and pulled the plug. And he's like, you've said enough.
He didn't want him to ruin his career anymore.
You've offended so many people. You've offended the Mexicans.
The midgets.
Look at him there. You're not saying much, Grado. You seem to be quite silent about this. What's been the high point of your career, Dylan? What's the one? Let's see, because you've talking about getting these photos with wrestlers and stuff like that. Great things to look back on. What is going to be the period that you look back on that was when you felt most satisfied in the business?
I always say,
or is that still to come?
No, I'll never ever in my career do something better than WLC. The WLC match Torito and I had, I will never ever beat that ever in my life ever. So that would probably be like the one match that I'll take to my grave is the greatest thing I'll ever do. Probably like the period of the Vince's Son stuff, because there was the 15th anniversary of Raw. I was on, it was like five or six different segments on that one show. I started the show and I was the closing scene of the show.
Yeah.
I started the show with Vince and I ended the show pouring beer on Vince. And it's like, and I had three, four other segments on the show, period. Like, it's just crazy.
It's an incredibly high profile angle to be involved in. I mean, it doesn't get more high profile than.
It shouldn't have. Like, I always live by, and maybe it's not a way to live, but it works for my mindset. I always live by, this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't be happening. Because the moment you think this should be happening, I think you're kind of egotistical to an extent.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't know. It's just weird for me to live in that moment of, yeah, I deserve this. No, we don't deserve any of it. We deserve to live and breathe and have fun with life if we make it out of it.
And it's nice to keep that sense of wonder about stuff as well. You know, when you're...
Yeah.
What was your relationship like with Vince? I mean, you must have... I've always wondered about that when you're involved in an angle with Vince.
I talked about it in the book a bit, and I said, I wish I would have asked him more. I wish I would have talked to him more, you know, between pre-tape takes and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just asked him, because he would have answered. He's a very open book, and I wish the fan in me would have come out more with him instead of boss.
No, because he is. Because no, you hear a lot of people saying that he's a guy who will talk to you and he will open up and he seems to be quite, you know, open to having the kind of relationships with people. It must be intimidating though.
At 20 years old, to try to ask him questions was like, nope, not happening. That is not happening at all. So it was one of those things where I just did my thing and did it as best I could, and that was it.
Can I ask a question, Dylan, just while Greg?
Yeah.
You know, obviously that angle was set up for, you know, Mr. Kennedy to come into that role, you know, and then everything happened that happened. How were you approached to take into that role?
I wasn't approached about it. It was in Green Bay, and I was told at 3:30 that afternoon, you're Vince's son.
Wow.
And I go, what? Bruce Pritchard, pardon me. Bruce Pritchard goes, you're the son. Or he goes, give me your cell phone. I go, no. He goes, you're going to want to give me your phone right now. Just give me your phone. I go, okay. He goes, you're the son.
So was this to make sure you couldn't communicate with anybody?
Yep. Yeah. Wow. And I said, I just said, oh. He goes, where is your bag in the locker room? I said, why? He goes, we're going to have someone go get your bag. You are going to sneak under the ring right now during rehearsals and all this. You're under there. We're going to get you your bag. You can change the stuff under the ring. I said, Bruce, can I text one person? One person. I said, I want to text my dad and make sure he's here. And he goes, that's fine. So I said, he was watching me as I texted him. I said, hey, please bring grandpa. Tonight's going to be very special. That's all I said. And I left him 2 comp tickets for them. He came to the show and it was awesome. And then Bruce took my phone and that was it.
Amazing.
I knew at 3:30 that afternoon.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful making sure your people are there. Listen, man, I'll wrap up this interview while Grado's away because I just don't know what's happening with him here. And there's nothing worse than looking at a freeze frame.
That might be, it's either his side or his ass. You can never tell.
It's hard to say. But listen, man, thanks so much for coming on. It'd be great to get you on again. I mean, we like to get people, I'll be honest, we like to get people back who are good. So
well, thank you.
So this has been good. So it'd be nice to get you back.
You have my word. I would love to do this again. Let's talk more. He's back.
There's 2 Grados. No, there's 2 Grados on my screen.
Shit. This is shit. My broadband is fucking shit.
You've just joined us back. I'm just wrapping up the interview. You've missed all the good bits. You've missed all the good bits.
Tell me about the day Chris Benoit died.
Fuck.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Nah.
So I was riding with him a couple weeks before that, around that time.
John's putting his hands in his head. Should I not have asked that? Are we allowed to ask this? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it morally right?
I think you're allowed to ask it. Yes, I think
they did They did a dark side.
Well, the producer's putting his fucking hands in his head. I don't get it.
Let me tell you. Well, because he realizes that you've thrown away your career enough in this interview and past ones.
To bring us down now.
The weird thing is my son watched the Dark Side of the Ring episodes with me.
It was
very odd. It was very... No, I loved it, man. I thought it was great.
The Dr. B-Man was fucking great.
It's odd because that was your... You've lived it. It's a thing. It's a world that you...
You were there, but... You were there for me.
I think that's why it was like kind of not cool by any means, but interesting to me more so. But Landon watched both of them with me, and he was like into it. And yeah, it was very odd to watch that kind of thing with your 10-year-old son.
It just must have been such a bizarre experience, because I love, and Gradle,
oh my God,
Gradle loves crime documentaries as well.
I love crime documentaries.
I never thought I would like them until, this is going to be so cliche, until Tiger King.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that started me off, and then I watched Don't Fuck With Cats.
Watch The Jinx. The Jinx is the best. The
really?
Because
I watched McMillions. McMillions starts really, really good, and it ends such shitty.
You love The Jinx. The Jinx is unreal. You message me straight away. Rab, back me up.
The Jinx, the last episode of The Jinx is one of the greatest
it's
things.
It's life-changing. The last episode of The Jinx.
One of those that brings you, it brings you into the next episode.
It's a billionaire that says, all the money in the world does not bring you happiness. He loves to murder people, and he's through it for fucking 30 odd years.
Wait a minute.
He decides to do an interview with HBO. Gredo, I'm not spoiling Gredo, it.
Gredo, shh. Right, but does he murder people, though? We don't know that. Right.
Before we go, I want some advice, Dylan, right? Because we have similarities, right? I believe, I mean, I've been referred to before as a human potato. Built like a loaf of bread in interviews and stuff like that. So
who said that one?
Jeremy Borash, but he's one of my best mates, so it's fine. He gets away with it.
Okay, yeah.
So I kind of see me similar to like you in terms of being, you know, the guy that. Why are you looking at me like that? Do you get what I mean?
I'm a fucking jacked human being, Grado.
No, I think we're similar.
William Regal.
And so I know you. You make wait this right because you bladed yourself when you were young, and I told you something last week. I done the fucking exact same thing. And my grand's house, I took my grand's aspirin. I went out the back door, wrestled with a fucking teddy bear, a pillar, and fucking smashed a glass bottle, and fucking went to town coast to coast, and fucking hid for my fucking grand. The similarities between me and you is incredible in terms of wrestling. The only difference is you went to WWE and fucking made millions, but well, similar. You know what I mean? We're very, very similar. What are you saying about Regal?
What's the advice?
So see how the Dr. D stuff? Did you see that? The dark side of the ring?
Yeah.
Right. So when pandemic's over, I want to be a new gimmick where I fucking just slap the fuck out every Scottish celebrity. Rab, what do you think? And I just say, I'm so pissed off of being in the pandemic, and I just fucking know, fuck it, the Sean Batty, the Weatherman, and you know what I mean? Like, fucking, do you know, help me out here, you know, just...
You want to just slap fuck out everybody?
Aye, just all the celebrities, and just fucking punch fuck out them, slap them, you know? Obviously, it's a work.
Grado.
But I'm a badass.
Grado.
Right, okay.
What would be the end game in this?
As Dusty Rhodes would say, where's the money in this?
No, I think there's great... Hey, Rep, I think there's great money in this. I think you should do it for sure.
Right, right, okay. Can I tell you one more thing about Dusty Rhodes, right? I went to dinner with Finn Balor and A-Train, right? And it was with TNA, and they were talking about... And they went, look, you know what? Triple H would hate you, but Dusty would love you. So I'm going to speak to Dusty. I'm going to speak to Dusty, right? I was like, fuck, man. This could be it. Fucking Dusty Rhodes died 2 weeks later. Fucking hell.
Somehow you've managed to even make the death of one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest men in the business of all time, about Grado, about the tragedy of Grado's lost opportunity.
He died.
Made Chris Benoit's death about him. Made Dusty's death about him. Made right, Warrior's
this is
about
definitely my favourite interview.
All I'm going to be thinking about the night is I'm just going to imagine what it must be. Grado, there's just this thing about watching the Benoit documentary and you were there. It's like watching Making a Murderer and you worked on the Avon scrapyard. You know what I mean?
Making a Murderer. My girlfriend, she was my girlfriend during all of that.
Yeah.
She bought her first car from that lot.
No way.
We lived 15 minutes from that place.
So do you speak like that? Yeah. What do you do today? What do you do today? I don't know. What do you do today?
We might have a better exclusive here. When did you live 15 minutes away from the yard?
Hornswoggle is fucking... He's involved.
Not only Vince McMahon's son, but also...
I think that's my new pro wrestling t-shirt. It's just me on that guy's body.
That's so funny, man.
What I was going to say, the Regal thing real quick. You said the loaf of bread and what was the other one?
Potato.
Yeah. Regal used to describe me as a melted vanilla sundae. That was my body type.
I don't think Regal likes me.
Oh Jesus. Well,
that's a downer to end the interview on.
I don't like it.
I expect when this is all over, I need video of him slapping the piss out of one of these weathermen. I don't know why he's picking the weathermen. Do you work with the news?
No, because he's no, I'm a friend.
Is this one of your other ventures? I mean, you have 97 jobs.
We need to think of other celebrities.
Dylan, I'll get the footage. I'll be Jimmy Hart for him. I'll follow him with a megaphone. I'll get the footage.
Why a weatherman?
No, I don't know. It's just because the Schultz guy was a newsreader, so just weatherman. I don't know. I don't know. Who cares? He's getting a doon.
Right, I'm going to wrap this up.
This is the best. You have my word. I will do this whenever you guys want.
No, you need to come back on. It'd be nice. Come on. Maybe good to come on like post a pay-per-view sometime, and we can do one of the good old-fashioned pay-per-view review type things as well. It's always fun, isn't it? But then we won't talk about it because it means Grado would have to watch wrestling. He doesn't like watching the wrestling.
Hey, Grado, one more time. Can you do the your impression of what wrestling sounds like now?
Are you okay? Fucking shut up. Turn it down. Fucking that selling's annoying me. Anyway.
All right.
God bless you.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
God bless you guys very much. I miss you and I love you. And I can't wait to get a grenade in New Orleans again in Bourbon Street one more time. Because the next night in New Orleans, I nearly got arrested for peeing in the street. And it was Robbie Brookside that had to stop the police for fucking getting arrested. So there's another black mark against my name. So there you go.
I love you. See you guys. Thank you very much.
See you, my man. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. See you follow the landing team, my man. See you later, pal.
Now, you can go Wrestling Daft by sporting your very own Wrestling Daft t-shirt. Get them at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Why would you go buy a t-shirt for that show? Because it's the fucking best wrestling show ever. On there, you'll find designs such as I'm a Mark, I'm a Take a Bump for You, Chips, Cheese and Doner Meat, and I'm a Wrestler Tay, which you heard the story behind that tonight. And big news, the design team are going to start work this week on Alexa, who is Graham Steveley.
Fucking brilliant.
That's too good.
That's minty. I'm getting my name, man. To be doing fucking test.
Well, my fucking Alexa's just kicked after you here. She's telling me about the fucking Southern Baptist again.
And that's it.
And remember, take a picture when you get your t-shirt so we can enter you in our Hall of Fame, just as Paul did these Wrestling Daft logo t-shirts. So check out a range of t-shirts and hoodies at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Who's our listener of the week, Grado?
That's hard, man. Who do we see talking it? Fuck, I don't think anyone deserves it. Do you know what? I'm actually going to say the guy that put in the wand because I've seen the video on Twitter where he asks who's Grado to Alexa and he's got a wee baby and he's on. Who's that?
That's the twin betweener.
Yep. It's going to him.
The twin between
in the Wayne, in the Wayne, the wee Wayne, the wee cute Wayne.
Can we get a wee belt for the baby as well?
Aye, get a wee belt, baby. Wee belt
for the Wayne as well. Listen, everybody, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us wherever you get your podcast. Please. Maybe we'll leave a review like this. Delboy2K says, simply the funniest, absolutely amazing and hilarious podcast. Rab and Grado are so funny. Love Rab for the amazing bumps. Get on this. Number one. That's the kind of reviews we want to hear.
Next thing,
Grado's the best drive. Ice cream van owner I've ever met. Rab is a brilliant vet. He put my dog down, and he was very compassionate when he was putting down my dog.
Aye, Grado is the best Just Eat driver ever. He came with my chip season doner meat in 6 minutes.
Didn't even eat any of the doner meat.
I did.
Gredo, thanks so much. You have put a smile on my face this week.
Aye, man, it's been good. It's been,
this has been the best episode.
Aye, it has.
It's been the best.
Sorry if I've offended them, they know that, right?
Gredo, up the road.
Up the road.
It's yourself, up the road. Stay safe, everybody. Stay safe.
Stay safe in that 2020 pandemic, brother. Stay safe.